In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I must begin with a personal word of thanks and commendation to all of you, students and faculty alike. I have truly enjoyed my visit in your midst the last several days, and I am certain, as God wills it and as God works it, that some of you will be in Southern Illinois someday, and thanks be to God. And thank you personally, Dr. Wenthe, for your kindness in these days. The Church of Jesus Christ is a waiting church. Our Lord has said, "I am coming quickly," and we are waiting for the New Jerusalem. And while she waits, the church prays. Did you know that there was a prayer the ancient church developed partly on the basis of the scripture we heard, one of the seven O antiphons of Advent? It goes like this: O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can close. You close and no one can open. Come and rescue the prisoners who are in darkness and the shadow of death. That hymn stanza we just sang echoes both the scripture and that prayer. O come, O key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Now, I know that they tell us that the American prison population is high and getting higher. I know that the state of Illinois keeps on building more prisons down our way in the Southern Illinois district. But do you know personally anyone who is in prison? Or have you ever had occasion to pray for yourself, come and rescue the prisoner? Before you say no, let me tell you about Kevin. Kevin was a 15-year-old who had seen too much. As it came out later, he had actually witnessed his father kill his sister with a frying pan. When I first heard of Kevin, he was in a mental institution because he would not talk, would not communicate with anyone. He would spend his day sitting under a table with the chairs pulled around the table in order to make a cage. They tried to coax him out, but nothing seemed to work. Kevin's cage reminded me, though, of the cage we make by our sin. It reminded me that I am often a prisoner of my sinful pride. And pride really does build a cage around us. I think I'm better because, well, I am. I have this position. I have this professorship. I have studied this much. I have this experience. And I thereby begin to wall myself off from others, and others put me off and write me off as a proud synodical bureaucrat or something like that. And we haven't even begun to talk about how God looks at sinful, damnable pride. Whatever the sin, this is what it does. It separates us, walls us off from others, puts us outside of God's life, and keeps us from knowing God in His grace and mercy. That is the real prison, far worse than anything the state of Illinois has ever conceived. One of our hymns says it well: "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me. But daily deeper still I fell, my life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." In other words, sin puts us in prison. And it's not only prison time we have to do, But we are also on death row in that prison. The scripture says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death by sin, so death spread to all people, because all have sinned. So, living in our prison, living under the shadow of death, we have much reason to pray, O key of David, come rescue us prisoners who are in darkness and the shadow of death. In some ways, there is a bit of irony in the scriptures with this title, Key of David. If you look up in the Old Testament, Isaiah 22, you will find that the one given the title is a man named Eliakim. He was to be sort of a chief of staff for the king, the one who would let people come in and go out to see the king. But if you also look at that passage, you will discover that Eliakim is going to have that position only for a time, and very soon he'll be cut off. He will not last. However, the one who has already spoken to us this morning from the book of Revelation, he is the one who has the true and lasting key of David, the one who has the keys of death and hell. He is the Holy One, the faithful one, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. Behold, he says, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. He has come with the key of David to set the prisoners free. In the words of Isaiah, he has come to bring good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He is our Lord Jesus, born to set us free. But how? How does our Lord Jesus, who has the key of David, accomplish this? Do you remember Kevin, the boy who caged himself in his prison under the table? For weeks, the psychologist tried to coax him out from under the table, but to no avail. His healing began, however, when one of the doctors got down on her hands and knees and crawled in under the table to sit there with Kevin. Just to sit there and then to listen and eventually bring him out. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus did, becoming man. He is perfect God, but he stoops down to be counted among the sinners, to sit down with us in our prison, even to take our place in the prison, even to take our place on death row. He comes to live and to die with us, to suffer the pain of our prison because of our sin and guilt, and to die our death. But not even death, as final as that seems, can hold the one who has the keys of death and hell, who opens and no one can shut. So by his resurrection, he opened and came out of his own tomb. By his resurrection, he will open our graves and call us forth. By his resurrection, he opens the door to paradise, brings us out of the cages of our sin to the new life he has in store for us. The door is wide open, and he promises to carry us through. When I was in college here, when this place was the senior college, the door to my room across the way in dorm A was a little peculiar. Often the lock would stick, and then when the door slammed shut, it was locked, and if I had let my keys inside, I had to go through the embarrassment of finding a maintenance man who'd be willing to let me in. But as long as this earth remains, until Jesus comes again, that's not going to happen to this door. God will not all of a sudden capriciously slam it in our face saying, oops, I guess I don't have any more love for you. Satan cannot close the door. No one else can slam it in our face either. in Jesus Christ. The door to God's mercy, God's life, God's love, the door to paradise is wide open. Behold, I have set before you an open door, he said. But there are a couple of other doors that are closed for us, and thank God that they are. First is the door to the past. All our past sins, all our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. They are in the past. They are nailed to the cross with Christ and buried in his grave. When he rose, they were forgiven, removed, buried forever, locked up in the past with the key of David. You know the promise through the prophet Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. God has forgotten them. Jesus Christ, the key of David, has slammed the door shut on our sins and locked them up forever. Second, there is also closed for us the door to hell and Satan's accusations against us. There's nothing Satan can do to accuse us any longer. He has no power over us unless we, for some reason, allow it. For on Satan also the door is slammed shut and no one can open it. That's good news. Our sins are locked up, and the power of God's love in Jesus Christ has an open door to work in our lives, for he is the key of David with the keys to death and hell. That's how Jesus sets us free from our prison, how Jesus brings us out of the cage of our pride or whatever sin besets you. He locks it up by his cross and sets us free by his resurrection and forgiveness. And what is more, in his merciful wisdom, this Jesus, our key of David, has appointed the way to announce to you with absolute certainty that your sins are locked up forever and that you are set free from your prison. We have no more time to lay it out here, but the Catechism calls it the office of the keys. It is the basic authority Christ has given to his church, as he said to his disciples, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is simply the authority in the name of Christ to lock or to unlock whatever is needed. When it is done here, it is done in heaven. For Christ himself has opened the door of paradise for you, and no one can shut it. And Christ himself has locked the door to your sins, and no one, not even the devil himself, can open it. That is why, in the full assurance of faith, we pray the ancient prayer of the church, O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can close. You close and no one can open. Come and rescue the prisoners who are in darkness and the shadow of death. Amen.